Our sermon text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. If you're able, I'd ask you to rise again for the hearing of the Word of God. We'll read verses 11 through 17 in Jesus' holy name. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow and had a considerable crowd from the town that was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up, began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all of the surrounding county. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord God, your word is truth, and I pray that you would sanctify us by that truth. As we now look at this passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, pray that you would show us our sinfulness and need for a Savior, and point us once again to Christ and his finished work, which is enough even for us. By your word, strengthen us for your service, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, all of our texts for this morning have got a very common theme, and that common theme is suffering. In the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about his suffering that he's going through. In the book of 1 Kings, we find a widow suffering because she has lost her son. And then we have our gospel text, where once again we have a widow going through suffering the loss of her son, who is now dead. We too are no strangers to suffering. Most, if not all of us, have had to suffer the loss of a loved one in this life. But even if we never have, we can all relate to suffering in one way or another. I mean, think about our last 6 months living in the land of COVID. Those haven't exactly been a picnic for any of us, have they? They've been filled with struggles and ups and downs and difficult times. And suffering is something that is common to man. It's common because we are sinful human beings and we live in a world that is broken by sin. Even though we've become accustomed to suffering, we've gotten used to suffering, suffering was not a part of God's original design. It wasn't a part of his creation, but instead something that came with sin when sin entered the world. As we suffer, it can be difficult for us to trust and have faith in our Lord through it. As we suffer, it can be very easy for our faith to be shaken during the difficult times we go through. When we are suffering, it can be difficult to feel the love and the compassion of God. When we are crushed with feelings and crushed by our painful situations that we're in, it can become easy for us to ask, "Why are you letting this happen, God? What did I do to deserve this? And God, do you even care about me anymore?" The woman in our sermon text for this morning would have been suffering greatly. She was a widow. This meant she had already suffered quite a bit. She had lost her husband. She already had to bury him. And when he died, it would have been a complete life change for her. In first century Israel, her husband would have been the breadwinner for the family, and when he died, that would have meant massive changes because there were no government programs or anything like that to help this woman along. And now when we find her in this passage, she loses her only son. She would have been mourning his loss, but also processing through what this meant for her life. You see, her husband was already gone, and now her only son was gone. This meant that her complete support system was gone. This woman's future would now hold solitude and poverty, and she'd have to rely on the kindness and mercy of others. If anyone had reason to ask, God, why have you allowed this? What have I done to deserve this? And God, do you even care about me? It was this woman right here. But why is it that Jesus stops? Why is it that he takes the time to raise this woman's son from the dead? Well, Luke gives us an answer in verse 13. When he sees the woman, Luke tells us that he feels compassion for her. That Greek word that is used for compassion there doesn't just mean he looked at her and felt kind of bad or thought, oh, that's sad, her son died. It meant that it tore him up on the inside. It meant that Jesus actually loved this woman. It was a very real and heart-rending feeling from Jesus. And so in his divine love and mercy and compassion, he can't help but act. So Jesus approaches the funeral procession. In those days, that was not a normal thing. They treated funeral processions back then much like we do now. If we see the hearse in a line of cars, we get out of the way and we're quiet and respectful. And that's what would have happened in Jesus' day too. They would have just let the procession pass. But that's not what Jesus does. He walks right up into the middle of this somber procession and does another very strange thing. He reaches out his hand and he touches the bier that the boy was being carried on, and no good Jewish person would do that because touching a dead body would make them ceremonially unclean. They couldn't go and worship and offer sacrifice to the Lord if they did. But in Jesus's compassion, the Lord of life reaches out and touches the bier anyway. He's not wearing a mask. He's not practicing social distancing. He has no fear, instead only love. And he reaches out and he shows everyone that death does not have the final say. It doesn't have the final say because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and all who believe in him will live even though they die. Luke goes on to tell us that at the resurrection of this young man, the crowd erupted in praise and thanksgiving. They feared and glorified God in light of this great sign of Jesus' divine power that he had shown. They said, a great prophet has appeared to us, and God has come to help his people. All because of this funeral and the generous and gracious act of Jesus, word spread through Judea and beyond, and people believed in Christ. Because all things work together for the good of those that love God, right? But is this something we always believe? Do we actually believe that God works all things out for the good of those who love him, like Paul says in Romans 8? What about the loss of a loved one? How about the diagnosis of a terrible disease, like cancer? How about a divorce? How about depression? What about chronic pain or illness or a loss of a job or even imprisonment? What about a global pandemic or insurrection or crooked politics or natural disasters? Is it actually possible that God is working these things for our good? The answer to this is yes. I'm not going to spend the rest of the sermon on the question, is God the cause of evil or does he just permit evil? That's another sermon or a Bible study series for another day. Besides, we already know the truth. God is not the author of evil. But maybe us already knowing it is kind of the point. You see, we also know that God is compassionate. We know that he is loving and gracious. We hear about God's love and grace and compassion every time we step into the doors of this church. Even in a book like Ecclesiastes, where the Solomon says everything is meaningless and your toil doesn't matter, we still hear about the grace and mercy and love of our God. Every time we open our Bibles, we hear God's love for us. And yet how often, once we leave these doors, do we forget it completely? How often do we hit a few bumps in the road and get knocked out of our comfy cruise control, and then we weep and moan and whine and question and doubt, as if God somehow made a mistake, as if he fell asleep behind the wheel and lost track of us? Worse yet, we begin to question God's love for us. He had such compassion on this woman that he had to act. And so why isn't he showing me compassion today? Why doesn't he act for me? Why doesn't he just do something? You see, it's easy to praise God for his compassion and love and mercy when life is great. It's another thing, though, to praise God for his mercy and grace and compassion and undeserved gifts when you feel the weight of this life, when the pain and the struggles are just trying to crush you. Now, I don't know what struggles you are going through right now, but I know you have them, because we all do. You see, we all suffer to one degree or another. That doesn't mean it's time to compare scars. You know, we could easily find someone that would always point out that their suffering is worse than your suffering, and you shouldn't be whining about yours or even thinking about it. It's not time for that. Maybe your suffering is great today, and maybe your suffering isn't as bad as some other people. And if it's not, hey, praise God for that. Maybe things are going great for you in life today, and you hardly have a care in the world. If that's the case, praise God for that. Then again, maybe today is one of the lowest points you've ever had in your life. Maybe today you've never felt more alone or more forsaken or more worthless or more broken. Maybe today you think that Job had nothing to whine about because your life is worse. And you know what? Maybe you're right. If that's the case, praise God even in the midst of it. You see, whatever your situation, the reality, the truth of it is that before God, our situations are all the same. Whether you're up or down, rich or poor, in sickness or in fear of sickness, or the greatest health you've ever been in, whatever's going on in your life, you're still a sinner that needs saving. And apart from Christ, as a son of Adam or a daughter of Eve, you're dead in your trespasses and sins, and there's nothing you can do to save yourself or to fix it. But because of Christ and in Christ, you are redeemed. Because of Christ and in Christ, you have been saved. So look up from your belly buttons. Step away and leave your own personal pity parties, and instead focus on the cross of Christ. Because here at the cross is the compassion of the Almighty God, and it's on display for the world to see. God so loved the world, he had compassion on this fallen and sinful and evil and broken world. He loved it so much that he sent his only begotten Son to trade places with you and with me. Jesus lived the perfect life that we could never hope to. And he did it in your place. He went to the cross to take your place in death, a death that our sins had rightly earned for us, so that we might have everlasting life with him in heaven. It's sad that so often it takes something tragic to wake us up and get our attention, to get us lined out and turned around and focused again on Christ. It's incredibly sad that we often don't recognize, acknowledge, or even see God's compassion and his mercy until tragedy is struck. And even then, do we really recognize it, or do we blame God for it? Do we recognize the compassionate love and mercy of our God when our prayers and desires aren't being answered, or at least God's not answering the way we want them to be answered? The cross is always the sign of God's love and his compassion. Right here, right now, and always. God didn't wait for you to cry out before doing something about your sin. Instead, God took the initiative. Right after the first sin entered the world with Adam and Eve, God promised redemption. And then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still dead in our sins and trespasses, Jesus died and rose again for us. His great compassion and divine love led him to suffer on the cross, to take our punishment that we had earned for ourselves with our sin. And he did all of this long before we even knew we had a problem. His divine love and compassion for mankind continues today. You see, the cross wasn't a one-and-done thing that happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. No, instead, God's loving compassion still reaches out to you today. His gentle touch comes to calm and halt the chaos we live in this life. He approaches with no mask, no social distancing, and no fear, and he reaches out to gently still us, assure us, and dry our tears. That's why we gather together on Sunday mornings. It's why we come here together to rest, so that our Lord might serve us and comfort us and nourish us and heal us with word and sacrament. It's finished. And it is because Christ said so. So be at peace. No matter how bad things might seem in your life, by grace and through faith in the perfect life, sacrificial death, and resurrection of Christ, you belong to him. And there's nothing and no one that can ever take it away from you. The gates of hell will not prevail against it, and if hell can't prevail, then neither can a pandemic or an election or an angry mob or cancer or depression or dysfunction or anything else, including your own death. In this life, we grieve, we suffer. But we grieve and suffer as people of faith. We don't grieve and suffer like the world does without hope. Because here is Christ. Here he is with us in the midst of all the suffering and chaos happening in our world now, in your own life and throughout the nation. Here is the compassion of God who bids you to come to him and says, "Take and eat. Take and drink. This is my body. This is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin." You're not going to get this offer anywhere else today. God has visited his people. He still visits his people, and here he is. The Lord of life reigns and rules in your presence, and he is your joy. He is your reason to rejoice even in suffering. So may this good news, the truth of God's unconditional compassion and mercy and peace, be witnessed in all you say and do. May you report of this great and undeserved compassion and reach out and go out to all those to whom God brings you into contact with. And may the ever-present reality of God's compassion and love guard you and keep you in the one true faith, both now and forevermore. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for your word. We thank you again that you are gracious and compassionate and merciful. And we thank you that that is true no matter what we suffer. Lord, thank you for taking care of our greatest need in Jesus Christ, who lived the life we could not, died the death we deserved to die, and rose again that we might have forgiveness and life eternal. God, strengthen our faith in him. As we ready ourselves now, Lord, to go to your table, I ask that you would allow us to come confessing our sin freely and trusting in the gifts that you there offer, the forgiveness of sins and life eternal. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.